Well, that's an appropriate anthem for our series. We began a few weeks ago, a series on salvation. And today we do continue in that. And just as, I guess, a clarification, that as we study on salvation, first of all, if you don't know God through Jesus as described in Scripture, These are messages you need to hear. If you already know God through Jesus, as described in Scripture, then this equips you to share the gospel with others, with greater understanding yourself. And so that's our intent today. Last Sunday, we began studying the confession of salvation. And there are two confessions that we identified. The first one we worked with last week. The second one we'll look at today. But the first confession is simply this: I need God to save me. If you have not come to that confession, you cannot be saved. With our sin and transgressions against God, we are in a helpless situation. We cannot get right with God, we cannot be right with God, and we cannot do anything to please God. So we're hopeless and helpless. And in the absence of a Savior, we only have God's wrath for eternity. When we become aware of our offense against God, and we admit that we're incapable of saving ourselves, and we cry out to God for salvation, that is the path to reconciliation. And I feel like I need to make clarifications along the way, just so that you can hear these words. Saying, I need to be saved, does not save you. The second confession is what we'll be dealing with today. And that is the confession that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? Well, the confession of salvation here incorporates both the heavenly and the personal positions of Jesus. To be clear, saying the words, Jesus is Lord, will not save you. Now, I'll give you some examples along the way this morning. How are we saved? Now, we looked at this 2 weeks ago. How are we saved? It's very simple. We are saved by grace through faith, period. We're trusting in God. We're trusting in His work. We're trusting in His promise. It is the gift of God. What does it mean to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Confession is an open expression of the allegiance in your heart. Now, your confession does not cause allegiance in your heart, but it represents the allegiance in your heart. Let me give you a story. This came out of a Reader's Digest years ago, 1981, I believe. But it's a story regarding Ken Galbraith in the early 1900s. He was called upon by many dignitaries to help out with economic situations. He was a noted economist. And he wrote this following story in his autobiography concerning his housekeeper. He says, it had been a wearying day, and I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He is sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President. I work for him, not you. When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. Tell that woman I want her here in the White House. You see, Emily the housekeeper understood an important truth. She was a servant to one man and obeyed his wishes explicitly. Her loyalties were to Mr. Galbraith alone. When Paul wrote, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved," he was writing to Roman Christians. Now, in that time, a believer's confession in Rome would likely lead to persecution and possibly death. So if a believer confessed Jesus as Lord, facing those circumstances, it was seen as evidence of the true belief and allegiance to Jesus. Now, on the other hand, in Luke 4:41, the demons confessed Jesus is the Son of God, but their allegiance was to someone else. Therefore, we must be careful not to place our confidence in a false confession, because knowledge and words will not save you. So what does it mean to confess Jesus is Lord? And how do we know if we have a false confession? The first part we're going to look at, I'm going to have a few passages of Scripture, and I guess what we can say is we're building the case at this point. Christ's position in heaven. Now, in short, Jesus is Lord, that confession, Jesus is Lord, means Jesus is God. So Jesus is Lord means Jesus is God. Now, I want to read this first passage. It should be somewhat familiar, and it is a great passage for you just to dive into. But I want to read it, and then we're just going to walk through it just briefly to get the truths out of it. John 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1, verses 1 through 5 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I know it's a familiar passage, but we must hear what the verses are saying. So let me just walk through this real briefly. In the beginning was the Word, which means the Word exists eternally. That's before time began, and it will forever be. Goes on to say, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let's fill in the blank now, what I just said. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you hear that? The Word was God. If we're not careful, we'll miss here that in verses 2 and following, the Word is now a person who, by the way, was with God and was God. Okay. All things were made through him, meaning he is creator. In him was life, which was the light of men, and the light has not been overcome. So this person who was in the beginning with God, just going through this passage, he was God, he was the creator, he was life and light, he became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Who is Scripture describing here? Jesus. Clearly speaking of Jesus. So here's a question, just to make sure we're on the same page. Maybe you haven't thought through it this way. If Jesus was God before he became flesh in verse 14, who is he after he became flesh? Speak that out loud. God. Do you see that? Jesus is God, was God. He still is God, and he reigns on the throne forever and ever. Let's read another description of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So Jesus is the image of God. This isn't being created after the image, or not created in the likeness of. It is the exact representation of God. This is the physical God that represents the invisible God. He is the firstborn. Now, in our minds, when we think of firstborn, we think of the first one to appear. But in the Greek, when you look in that word, it means that he existed before all creation. He is first priority. He is preeminent before all things. It goes on to say, by him all things were created, and he holds all things together. That means that he has authority over all things. We're speaking of Jesus here. He is the head of the church. And in everything, Jesus is the highest rank, having the fullness of God within him. Jesus, who is God, has all authority and power to reconcile all things to himself by the blood of the cross. Let's read one more description. And I love how God does this, how he pulls it all together. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that's some imagery that's difficult for us to picture. But notice the description. He is called Faithful and True. He is a righteous judge. He wears many crowns. His robe is dipped in blood. But look at verse 13. Don't miss this. By what name is he called? In verse 13. The Word of God. Wow, see how that connects with John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And now we see him coming back, and he is the Word of God. He will rule the nations. And on his robe and on his thigh were written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Based on these three descriptions, we can without a doubt conclude that Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth. And it's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth because God said so in his word. Jesus is not just a good man, as many would say. He is not just a prophet, as many say today. He's not just a good teacher, as many say today. He is the Messiah, and he is Lord of all. Someday, all will submit to that truth, whether you choose to today or not. Listen to Philippians 2, 9-11. I read this earlier. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Who? How many knees? Every knee, heaven, earth, below the earth, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if we take this out of context, and we know that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. And then you look at a passage like this and say, well, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That means everyone's saved. Thank you. No, that is not accurate. That is not true, because words will not save you. If you believe Jesus is less than God, and I know there are faiths out there that say that he is the Son of God, that there's a separation there, or that he is the brother of Satan, or he is the archangel Michael. If you believe that Jesus is anything less than God, your confession is in opposition to the truth of God, and it makes it a false confession, and it does not lead to salvation. And I know there are faiths that are built on the lie that Jesus is not God, that Jesus is not divine. But if your Jesus is not divine, he can't save you. You can willfully believe that Jesus is Lord as revealed in God's word today, or you will recognize him as Lord before the judge, right before you have eternal wrath from him. Either way, Jesus is Lord. Now, that first part of that confession is acknowledging who he is positionally in heaven. Now, the second part of Jesus is Lord in that confession, we recognize him positionally in our hearts. Let's look at that a little more closely. Is he the Lord over your life? Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus is speaking here. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I love that Jesus teaches in such a way that a child can understand. And when I look through this, there is no argument whatsoever, and we can't even make an argument for what he is saying. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? See, confessing Jesus as Lord logically concludes that you have submitted your life to his authority and obey him. So if Jesus is Lord of our lives, then he has purchased us with his blood. He owns us and has every right to tell us what to do. If Jesus is Lord of our lives, we are his servants and are obligated to do what he says. Listen, we are obligated to do what he says. And you might have that question in the back of your mind, well, what about free will? That's a great question. We have free will to answer God's call to salvation. But we're not permitted to live how we please as a purchased child of God. And we need to remove that thought from our minds, that we can just keep living how we please because we've been saved by the grace of God. It's clearly spoken here in God's word, the expectations from Jesus himself. In Luke 6, Jesus said, "If you come to him, hear him, and do what he says, you are building your faith on a firm foundation that will not be shaken." And that's worthy of an amen. But then you keep on going. On the other hand, if you hear his words and do not do what he says, you have no foundation and are ruined. That's so clear in God's word. So to say Jesus is Lord and not do what he says is a false confession. And according to Jesus, it does not lead to salvation. You know, the church needs to hear this. Not just the lost, the church needs to hear this. We need to know, do we have a false confession of Jesus? Because if we're not following him and if we're not doing what he says, Jesus said, it's a false confession and you have no foundation and you're headed to ruin. We can play the game of Christianity, but it's not a game. If he purchased us with his blood, he owns us. We have yielded our lives to him. We must live as though we believe that. Do you see why we mustn't just have someone repeat a prayer after us? Do you remember the days you get a room full of people? How many does not want to go to hell? Raise your hand. Repeat after me these words and you'll be saved. And then I say the words, you say the words back, and somehow magically with that incantation, you're saved. That's a false confession. You're repeating after me is not going to save you. We go to God's word. What does he say salvation is about? Do you see why we can't take our confession lightly? Jesus commanded all Christians to make disciples. We think of that, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do what? All that I have commanded you to do. Wow, I see consistency in God's word. Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Based on the words of Jesus, will every person who confesses Jesus as Lord enter the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus? No. Say that with me. No. Who will? According to Jesus, only those who express their allegiance to Jesus alone by confessing Jesus as Lord and doing what he says. Now listen, another point of clarification here. Does confessing and doing save you? No. Confession and doing does not save you. Right there. Confessing and doing are evidences of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is the gift of God. Nothing else. But God sure does explain what the evidences are for those who have submitted to His authority. And we cannot deny that as God's people. Those who are saved have submitted to Jesus as Lord and will do what He says. That's a right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Will we do that perfectly? Will we obey everything that God says perfectly? No. But as a child of God, will our minds be towards obedience? And when we fail, will we be quick to repent of our sin? To be restored in fellowship with Him? Yeah. Say, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. And if we could obey everything that God said perfectly, we would be Jesus. And we wouldn't need a Savior. But we fail. And so we depend on Jesus and Jesus alone for His perfection, for His perfect life, His perfect sacrifice that was accepted by God. So what do you know Jesus said to do? I want to give you just a few things of what Jesus said we will do. This isn't a list of choices of I'll take number 1, 4, and 5. This isn't a game show. And there are far more than what I'm listing here. But this is what Jesus said. If you are my child, this is what you will do. You will pick up your cross daily and follow Him. You will be His witness to the end of the earth. You will make disciples. You will be an ambassador for Christ. You will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will serve in His church. You will love one another. You will pray for your enemies. You will repent from your sin. Now, your answer to this next question should not be based on your personal opinion, something that you've read in a book somewhere, or something someone has told you. But listen closely to the question. Based on the scripture that we read, does Jesus consider Himself your Lord? Based on scripture, does He consider? So we can confess Jesus as Lord, we can show up to worship, we can do the things that Christians do, but according to Jesus, when He looks at you, does He know you as His servant, as His child, one that He purchased? Let me just go back. These are some of the things He said we will do. Be His witness, make disciple, be an ambassador for Christ, share the gospel, serve in the church, love one another, pray for your enemies, repent from your sin. Those are just some of the things. And if we say, no, I'm not doing that, what are we doing? Are we following Him? The one that we call Lord, are we following Him at all? It's not sufficient to show up for worship. That's not Christianity. It's a part of it, but that's not Christianity. It's a relationship here. And that surrender, you know, we like to think that we surrender one time at one point in our life and it's done, but it's a daily surrender. Picking up your cross and following Him, there's a daily death to self just to follow Him. But our minds must be set to obedience. That means we must be in God's Word. We must be with God's people. We must help each other along the way. We must teach what God is teaching us to other people. This is how we are the church. Have you confessed Jesus is Lord as a result of your understanding of who He is, that He is divine, He is God, He is the one who saves? Have you confessed Him as Lord, the one who has all authority over your life, that you have submitted to Him? And are you doing what He said? What must happen in your life right now for you to know that you have this saving relationship that Jesus describes? What must happen? And for some, it might be, I am walking exactly the way Jesus described here. I am a submitted follower of Christ, and my mind is set toward obedience for His glory. For some, it might be, I've never heard this before. My confession has not been a good confession. And I must now confess Jesus as Lord of my life, that I may be saved. But He's got to be Lord, because saying it doesn't make it so. Will you surrender to I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I know that I'm probably 5 minutes shorter than I usually am. So just be aware that JJ and Wayne may not be here on the platform. Or they may. We have opportunities every time we hear God's word to respond to Him. And I cannot think of a better truth to respond to, that if you didn't have it, you can. If you had it wrong, get it right. If you're not sharing, start. If you're not being the church, be the church. What are we going to do today to know that we have what Jesus said we will have through Him? Let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll respond to Him. Heavenly Father, we are abundantly grateful for who You are, and that we can clearly declare that You are God. You are King of Kings, and You are Lord of Lords. And it's only through You that one can be saved. Lord, help us understand what it means to have the confession that Jesus is Lord, and that we can make sure that we understand and that we have what You say we will have. Lord, whatever it takes this morning, may we have it right with You. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead. You'll be saved. Lord, may You be glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen.